They think we're lazy.
They think we're weak-willed.
They think we're entitled.
They think we're selfish.
They think we don't care about anybody but ourselves.
We are compassionate.
We are resourceful.
We are capable.
We want to make a difference in the world.
We are underestimated.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Crashing the Parties. I'm Colton.
I'm Bailey.
I'm Asia.
And I'm Chelsea. And in the last episode, we discussed ICE in Minnesota and how ridiculous the whole situation has gotten. For this episode, we plan to discuss the three different attempts to assassinate Donald Trump.
Throughout Trump's 2024 presidential campaigns, there have been not just one, but two attempts on his life. He wasn't even in office when they both happened. The first attempt was the Butler, Pennsylvania attempt. This happened on July 13, 2024, around 6:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Donald Trump was at an outdoor campaign rally at the Butler Farm Show grounds. The main suspect is a 20-year-old male named Thomas Matthew Crooks. Leading up to the event, Crooks spent weeks making preparation, planning, preparing, and scoping out the area. Crooks visited the rally sited on July 7th, just 4 days after the rally was announced. He was there to scope out the arena and figure out exactly what he was truly going to do.
On the morning of the shooting, Crook returned to the venue and flew a drone over the grounds for around 11 minutes to map out the area and the rooftops. The same day, he purchases a 5-foot ladder and 50 rounds of ammunition. The weapon that Crooks used was a DPMS Panther Arms AR-15-style rifle with a red dot sight that belonged to his father. Another detail was that the authorities found remote detonated explosive devices in the trunk of Crooks' car and home. They believe he may have planned to have a diversionary blast.
So what really made this attempt so significant compared to other attempts on his life? Well, at the start, this was the most critical incident, resulting in Trump being physically injured and a bystander losing their life. There was a huge security failure. The aspect of the attempt that is so shocking is how long the shooter was on law enforcement's radar before the first shot was fired. At around 5:14 p.m., a local countersnipe inside the AGR building complex photographed Crooks scoping out the roof and carrying a golf rangefinder. 30 minutes later, local officers texted images of Crooks to their colleagues, describing him as highly suspicious. Despite the suspect being flagged at 6:03, Trump was permitted to take the stage. Then at 6:11, Crooks opened fire from the roof of an ARG building roughly 147 yards away from the stage. Trump turned his head to look at a chart on the screen the exact moment the bullet grazed his right ear. The response was fast, as a local officer from the Butler County ESU fired a shot that hit Crooks' rifle, likely disrupting his aim from the subsequent rounds that followed. 12 seconds later, a Secret Service agent, a part of the counter-sniper team, neutralized Crooks.
While the world focused on Trump and his safety, the local community was devastated. Firefighter Corey Compertore lost his life that day. He is hailed as a hero for using his body to shield his wife and daughters from the gunfire. Tragically, the shot that hit him killed him instantly. According to his family, as soon as the first shots rang out, Compertore yelled, "Get down!" before throwing himself over his wife, Helen, and his daughters, Allison and Kaylee, protecting them from the bullets. His actions in those final seconds likely saved their lives. Corey Compertore was a 50-year-old former fire chief from Sarver, Pennsylvania, and a lifetime member of the Buffalo Township Volunteer Fire Department. He was a staple in the community and a tragic loss.
Two other rally attendees, David Dutch and James Copenhaver, were also critically injured during the shooting in Butler, Pennsylvania. Both men were struck by gunfire while sitting in the crowd behind the stage as chaos broke out across the rally grounds. Emergency responders quickly rushed them to the nearby hospitals, where they underwent treatment for severe injuries and ultimately survived.
After the Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt, social media immediately exploded with reactions, conspiracy theories, and emotional responses from across the political spectrum. Videos of the shooting spread across platforms like TikTok, X, and Instagram within minutes, especially the moment Trump raised his fist after being injured. Many supporters viewed the image as a symbol of strength and resilience, while others debated how the security failures could have happened.
The photograph taken by Evan Bucci quickly became one of the most shared political images online and was turned into edits, campaign graphics, and viral posts almost instantly. At the same time, social media also became flooded with misinformation and conspiracy theories about the shooter's motives, security involvement, and whether the attack had been preventable.
The second assassination attempt against Donald Trump happened just 2 months after the Butler, Pennsylvania shooting. This attempt took place on September 15, 2024, at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach, Florida. Unlike the Butler rally shooting, Trump was not speaking publicly at the time and was instead golfing at his private course. The suspect in this case was a 50-year-old man named Ryan Wesley Routh. According to investigators, Routh has spent weeks planning the attack and traveled throughout Florida while attempting to track Trump's movements. Authorities later discovered that he had written disturbing messages and expressed obsessive political views online leading up to the incident. Investigators believe he was highly determined and had been actively searching for an opportunity to get close enough to carry out the assassination attempt.
The situation unfolded when Secret Service agents positioned ahead of Trump noticed something suspicious in the bushes near the edge of the golf course. Agents spotted the barrel of a rifle sticking through a chain-link fence several holes ahead of where Trump was golfing. Before the suspect could fire, a Secret Service agent immediately opened fire towards the bushes, causing Routh to flee the area. Investigators later recovered an AK-47-style rifle equipped with a scope, multiple backpacks, ceramic tiles believed to be intended as body armor, and a GoPro camera that may have been planned to record the attack. After fleeing the scene in a vehicle, Routh was stopped and arrested by local law enforcement on Interstate 95 after witnesses provided authorities with his license plate information. Trump was quickly rushed to safety and was unharmed during the incident.
What made the West Palm Beach attempt so alarming was the fact that it happened after the Butler shooting, raising serious questions about how a second individual was able to get so close to a former president within such a short period of time. The attempt also highlighted the growing concerns surrounding the political extremism and security failures during the 2024 election season. Even though no shots were successfully fired directly at Trump during the incident, authorities stated that the suspect had positioned himself dangerously close to the golf course, with a clear line of sight towards Trump's location. Many people viewed the event as proof that threats against major political figures had escalated dramatically in modern American politics.
Following the arrest, investigators continued searching through Routh's online activity and personal history to understand his motives. Reports show that he had lengthy criminal background and had made numerous political statements online that drew national attention after the attack. The assassination attempt once again dominated headlines across the country and intensified debates over political violence, security protections, an increasingly tense political climate in the United States. While the Butler rally shooting remained the deadliest attempt due to the death of Corey Campatore, the West Palm Beach incident further demonstrates that the threats against Trump during the 2024 campaign were not isolated events, but part of a much larger atmosphere of political hostility and instability.
The West Palm Beach assassination attempt created a different kind of reaction online because it happened so soon after the Butler shooting. Many users expressed shock that a second suspect had managed to get so close to Trump again, despite the heightened security that was supposedly put in place after July. Discussions online focused heavily on Secret Service effectiveness, political extremism, and concerns about increasing violence during the 2024 election season. While the incident did not produce the same dramatic imagery as Butler, it did still dominate headlines and social media trends for days. Some people viewed the second attempt as evidence that political tensions in the United States have reached dangerous levels. while others criticized the nonstop spread of political hostility online. Across social media, many Americans began discussing how political rhetoric, misinformation, and extreme partisanship may have contributed to an atmosphere where violence against political figures was becoming more common.
The assassination attempts against Donald Trump in 2024 left a lasting impact on both American politics and national security. Following the Butler, Pennsylvania shooting and the West Palm Beach golf course incident, federal agencies faced intense criticism over how two separate individuals were able to get so close to a former president and major presidential candidate within only a few months. Investigations by Congress, the Secret Service, and the FBI revealed multiple communication failures, security gaps, and problems with threat assessment procedures. In particular, the Butler rally drew major scrutiny because suspicious behavior from Thomas Matthew Crooks had reportedly been noticed well before the shooting began. Yet Trump was still allowed to take the stage. Many lawmakers and security experts called the failure one of the most significant protective breakdowns in modern Secret Service history.
In response, several major security changes were implemented. The Secret Service expanded counter-sniper teams, increased aerial drone surveillance at campaign events, and strengthened coordination between local law enforcement and federal agencies. Outdoor rallies and public appearances began using tighter perimeter controls, additional rooftop monitoring, and more advanced security screening. There was also a greater focus placed on monitoring online threats and identifying individuals displaying concerning or extremist behavior before the events took place. Beyond the security changes, the attempts also sparked larger national conversations about political division, extremism, and violence in American society. For many Americans, the events of 2024 became a reminder of how dangerous political tensions had become and how important it was to strengthen both security measures and public discourse moving forward.
Over the past few years, political violence in America has become more common and more dangerous. One of the biggest examples of this has been the multiple assassination attempts and threats against President Donald Trump. The most recent incident, often referred as the third major assassination attempt, happened during the White House Correspondents' Dinner in Washington, D.C. in April 2026. The dinner was a huge event attended by journalists, celebrities, politicians, and government officials. According to investigators, a 31-year-old man named Cole Thomas Allen traveled from California to Washington with multiple weapons, including a shotgun and a handgun. Prosecutors say he intended to target President Trump and members of his administration.
On April 25th, at around 8:36 p.m., Allen allegedly rushed through a security checkpoint at Washington Hilton while armed. Secret Service agents immediately confronted him near the entrance. During the chaos, Allen reportedly fired toward an officer and agents returned the fire. President Trump, Melania Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, and other officials were rushed out of the building by Secret Service. Luckily, nobody at the dinner itself was killed. One Secret Service agent was struck in the chest area by buckshot, but survived because he was wearing a ballistic vest. The suspect was also injured during the arrest and taken into custody before he could reach the ballroom, where thousands of people were gathered.
After the incident, social media completely exploded. Conservative users online blamed radical left rhetoric and argued that the media had spent years demonizing Trump, creating an environment where political violence became more likely. Liberal users focused on more questions about security failures and whether the Trump administration was using the attack politically. Hashtags related to the shooting trended across X, TikTok, and Instagram for days. Different clips of the event spread rapidly online, especially surveillance footage showing the suspect running through security.
The situation also showed how differently the media covered the exact same event. Conservative outlets mainly focused on the danger Trump faced and the idea that violent political rhetoric against him had gone too far. Some liberal outlets focused more on the security mistakes and questioned how the suspect got so close to the event in the first place. Other sources argued that politicians on both sides were using the incident to push their own political narratives.
The aftermath of the shooting led to major security changes around presidential events. Officials began reviewing how the suspect got weapons into the hotel and why he was able to get through the checkpoint so quickly. There have also been discussions about increasing Secret Service funding, improving hotel screening procedures, and limiting public access near high-profile events. Many experts warn that political violence in America is becoming more common and that both parties need to lower tensions before situations like this continue happening.
The third assassination attempt became more than just another breaking news story. It became another example of how divided and angry American politics has become. Instead of uniting people, the event quickly turned into another political argument online and in the media, with both sides blaming each other for what happened. No matter what political party someone supports, violence should never become part of politics. Assassination attempts do not solve disagreements or bring people together. Instead, they increase fear, division, and instability in the country. These events show how important it is for Americans to disagree peacefully and avoid allowing political hatred to turn into violence.
This podcast has meant a lot towards all of us, with the feeling of showing we can make a difference in this world as young adults. The topics, the issues, the conflicts, and the divide has made this an interesting experience to go through together. All the late nights writing, laughing in the recording booth by the mistakes we said, upset because what we were writing isn't making sense, makes this experience worth it. This podcast means a lot to us. It shows that teens our age care about what's going on. But why did we choose partisan and politics in the first place?
At the start of the school year, we were tasked to find a topic that we could make a difference in by making a series of 6 episodes for a podcast. But none of the murder and missing cases we found resonated with us. Then, I had the idea of doing it on politics and how they have created a large divide in the nation. This is a topic I've thought about often for years, and this was a great opportunity to make a difference. From there, we did research and figured out how we wanted our episodes to go. But it was difficult because we were the first group to do this kind of podcast in the class. What really helped us figure out how this was going to work was the roundtables we had every Monday.
Roundtables were discussions about important things that happened during the weekend that were on the news, social media, or anywhere you can find information about it. We talked about many situations throughout the school year, such as Charlie Kirk during the early stages of the investigation to the end where they caught Tyler Robinson, Trump's first 100 days in office, and more. This allowed us to hear what everyone has heard and fact-check it, so then we can figure out if what people online are saying is true or not. We are teenagers, almost young adults, talking and learning about what is going on in our world because of the adults' bad decisions.
During a roundtable one day, I asked our teacher, Mr. Ruff, how come us teenagers are students in high school and can see how politically driven and divided this world has become? While the adults in a world can't. Mr. Ruff said, I don't know. Maybe that's a good question for you guys to answer. We've aimed to answer this question from the moment he said that to the end of the school year. And we think we found it. Us teenagers have a fresh perspective of views by seeing what our world has become. And equality is something we've been taught to us at a very young age. Yes, equality is something we need in this world. And it may be shown, but it's not in the way it should be. I was taught at a very young age, no matter who someone looks like, no matter what their sexuality is, or their gender is, everyone bleeds the same color. We all are equal. We all are human beings just trying to survive this crazy and hectic world. Your sexuality and gender isn't something to feel judged about. It is something who you truly are. It shouldn't be that difficult to understand and accept because it is what makes you happy. But it seems that the adults in our world don't understand what equality means because of what they are doing and treating other people. If we want human equality and world peace, you adults have to take a step back and see what you're doing and how bad it really is.
The purpose of this podcast is to show how divided our world has gotten with politics, and it's not okay. We've made this podcast as a sign of help, and we need the adults who are listening to act on this cry of help. The decisions and choices of adults in our world are causing our ascent into adulthood very difficult.
We want the adults that are hearing this to please think about what you are going to post, say, or do before you harm the possibility of young adults making a difference in today's world. We strive for a chance to make a difference, and it is made much more difficult by the adults in our lives starting these issues and conflicts.
This has been Crashing the Parties. We want to say a thank you for listening to our podcast. It means so much to us.
Underestimated, Crashing the Parties was researched, written, and produced by Colton, Asia, and Bailey. Intro music by Haley. All other music by Shane Yoder. Our show artwork was created by Chelsea, and our series artwork was created by Colton. The Underestimated podcast is a production created in the Brandywine Community Schools Broadcasting CTE program. We want to thank you for listening and a huge thank you to our community sponsors for supporting us and helping to fund our work. Please make sure to leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Underestimated.